Shalom, היום נפתח
את... Today we'll be reading from the new book Connecting to the Source. We'll be reading excerpts on the subject of the greatness of the Creator. You can send us questions live on kab.tv and you can find all of our texts on kabbalahmedia.info.
הקטע הראשון מתוך ספר
מתחברים אל המקור excerpt we will be reading is by Baal HaSulam from the article Introduction to the Book of Zohar item 34
צריך שתדע שכל נחת רוח של
one should know that any contentment our maker derives from bestowing upon his creations depends on the extent to which the creations feel him, that he is the giver, and he is the one who delights them. Then he takes great pleasure in them, as a father playing with his beloved son. To the extent that the son feels and recognizes the greatness and exaltedness of his father, and his father shows him all the treasures he had prepared for him. As it is written, Ephraim, my darling son, is he a child of joy? For whenever I speak of him, I do remember him still. Hence my heart yearns for him, I will surely have mercy on him, says the Lord. Observe these words carefully, and you can come to know the great delights of the Lord with those whole ones who have been granted the feeling of him and recognizing his greatness in all those manners he has prepared for them, until they are like a father with his darling son, like a father with his child of joy. We need not continue about this, for it is enough for us to know that for this contentment and delight with those whole ones, it was worth his while to create all the worlds, higher and lower ones alike.
Meaning all of our feelings, our thoughts, in the ascent, in the descent, as we search for the Creator through our exploration of creation in order to find a reason and a process and a result and a goal, a purpose, all those things are ultimately the pleasures through which the Creator wants us to feel Him, to discover Him. There's nothing redundant here, although it appears to us that we do unnecessary actions and we pass our time and our lives without any need for it, necessity, but ultimately, or rather eventually, we discover that all of it is his pleasures from playing with us to the extent we relate everything in creation to him, to that extent we delight him. Questions? Any? You want to read it twice, or maybe once, and then move ahead? Who's for reading twice? So why do you keep silent? Read it again.
Again from Baal HaSulam, the article Introduction to the Book of Zohar. Excerpt number one. One should know that any contentment our Maker derives from bestowing upon his creations depends on the extent to which the creations feel him, that he is the giver and he is the one who delights them. Then he takes great pleasure in them, like a father playing with his beloved son. To the extent that the son feels and recognizes the greatness and exaltedness of his father, and his father shows him all the treasures he had prepared for him. As it is written, Ephraim, my darling son, is he a child of joy? For whenever I speak of him, I do remember him still. Hence, my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, says the Lord. Observe these words carefully, and you can come to know that the great delights of the Lord with those whole ones who have been granted the feeling of him and recognizing his greatness in all those manners he has prepared for them, until they are like a father with his darling son, like a father with his child of joy. We need not continue about this, for it is enough for us to know that for this contentment and delight with those whole ones, it was worth his while to create all the worlds, higher and lower ones alike.
If we follow that, there's none besides him, and everything's from the Creator, we are under his complete dominion, then to the extent we can annul ourselves and feel ourselves as being in the world of the Creator, under the dominion of the Creator, then we can give him, can delight him, give him pleasure. Okay?
I thought the Creator delights in us bestowing, but here we see that he delights as he bestows.
We bestow.
We reach adhesion, we become similar to him.
No, let's say that you bestow. We first and foremost, we have to recognize that we are under his complete dominion, purposeful, and in his, under his guidance, his rule, he's taken us through different incidents, different states, to the perfect state. And all of this process is in order to teach us where we are, under which influence we are, who's bestowing, who's influencing, who's governing us.
Can you explain the example of the child? Because it's written that the father enjoys it if the child knows his greatness.
Yeah, to the extent the kid develops, the father gives him his intellect, his feelings, is taking him through different events, so the kid will learn. And to the extent the father takes him through different contradicting states, like opposing states, like the child in the story of the child in the basement, then his father rejoices about how much the child is capable of understanding and justifying his father. To that extent, he's delighting the father. Okay. Next.
Excerpt number 2 from Baal HaSulam, article, a speech for the completion of the Zohar. Our sages said, make for yourself a Rav and buy yourself a friend. This means that one can make a new environment for oneself, and this environment will help him obtain the greatness of his Rav through love of friends who appreciate his Rav. Through the friends' discussion, or through the friends discussing the greatness of the Rav, each of them receives the sensation of his greatness. Thus, bestowal upon his Rav becomes reception and sufficient motivation to an extent that will bring one to engage in Torah and commandments, mitzvot, lishma, for her sake. It was said about this, the Torah is acquired by 48 virtues, by serving the sages, and by meticulousness of friends. This is so because besides serving the Rav, one needs the meticulousness of the friends as well, meaning that the friends will influence him so that he obtains the greatness of his Rav. This is so because obtaining the greatness depends entirely on the environment, and a single person cannot do a thing about it whatsoever. Again, excerpt number 2 from a speech for the completion of the Zohar by Baal HaSulam. Our sages said, make for yourself a Rav and buy yourself a friend. This means that one can make a new environment for oneself. This environment will help him obtain the greatness of his love through the love of friends who appreciate his love. Through the friends discussing the greatness of the love, each of them receives the sensation of his greatness. Thus, bestowal upon his love becomes reception and sufficient motivation to an extent that will bring one to engage in Torah and commandments for her sake. Lishma. It was said about this, the Torah is acquired by 48 virtues, by serving the sages, and by meticulousness of friends. This is so because besides serving the Rav, one needs the meticulousness of friends as well, meaning the friends' influence, so they will influence him, so he obtains the greatness of his Rav. This is so because obtaining the greatness depends entirely on the environment, and a single person cannot do a thing about it whatsoever.
Any questions?
The greatness of his Rav and the greatness of the Creator, is that one and the same, one thing?
No, of course not. The greatness of his teacher, his Rav, means that you have someone that you can appreciate, someone greater. It can be a friend. But when you bestow to him, and you receive pleasure from it. You receive an appreciation. Towards the Creator is a problem because he's not felt. So here, it's the friend or Rav. It doesn't matter. Rav means greater. Anyone who you see as great and you bestow to him and you receive pleasure because from that, because in your eyes he is great. Bestowal to a great one can give you energy, fuel, high spirits, confidence, and in this way we learn how to relate, you know, from love of friends to love of the Creator. In this way, in the degree.
Saludos, Rav. Saludos a todo el Kli Olami.
Hello, Rav. Hello, World Kli.
Él acaba de expresar sobre la grandeza del maestro, del Rav.
Regarding the greatness of the Rav. The closest thing I have is the friend. So how can I see him as great?
Toda clase de discernimientos, alegría, pesadez.
I go through many different discernments during the lesson. Joy, loneliness.
No. We read many times in our verses, in general, complete articles, that you have to see each and every friend as the greatest of the generation. So what's the problem? If this is how you see your friends as so great, then you have the ability to receive an elevation of your spirits. Bestowal to a great one, if he's truly great, should bring you strength, high spirits, fuel. Truly so, if they are big in your eyes. And if not, you have to work on it. It's written in many places how you should relate to your friends, to feel yourself as the lowest of them all. And then you will always have energy to work and high spirits because you are among the great ones. Since through them you will receive bestowal from above. From the upper light you will receive illumination. That's the law. You're simply using it. We are in a system of laws, system of forces. If you relate to the system in this way, you extract from it the inner force that dwells in the system. And if you can't do it, then you are without energy.
Entiendo lo que me dice, pero
I understand what you're saying. However, with that, over years, I see the friends as great, and it's the first time I have them so close to me.
Yo he visto a los amigos por años y es primera vez que los puedo sentir físicamente.
For years I've been seeing the friends, watching them from afar, and it's the first time I can feel them close to me physically. Now it's difficult for me to see them as greater than myself. I even need to.
It doesn't matter if it's over distance or physically nearby.
Or
over a great distance, doesn't matter. Whatever you were given. From that state, you need to develop the correct attitude toward the friends. And then, from that, you'll get an elevation of the spirits and fuel to continue. Otherwise, you won't. Those are the laws of nature. And you can talk about it, you can complain, but there's no real room for that. It's like laws of nature. Complain. You cannot change them by complaining.
I'm not complaining of.
You have to develop such a state, and that's it, such an attitude.
A friend from Ashdod is asking if it's possible to attain greatness within reason, or perhaps it must always be built above reason.
No, within reason. Towards a friend, it has to be within reason. Within reason to feel his greatness. Above reason, you can say whatever you want.
What is meticulousness regarding the friends?
The meticulousness of friends means that we're trying to seal between us all those conditions, all those demands that the Kabbalists convey to us.
But this is a very fundamental thing. It's the beginning
fundamental.
Of the work.
There's nothing that's not fundamental in the wisdom of Kabbalah, because we're talking about the laws of nature that are currently concealed from us, and Kabbalists are teaching us those laws. If we will use them, we will open up a deeper nature before us, higher nature, and that's it. Whereas right now, we're using a small part of the laws of nature called this world. Of course, this is all of the wisdom of Kabbalah. We're teaching the laws. Okay? Yes, David?
From this discernment that the ten is everything, that there's nothing but the ten, where do we position the Rav inside the ten? What is the Rav that's inside the ten?
Rav in the ten is not present there. It's a force. Could be without Rav. Without him, you take a book if you know how to behave correctly. According to the book, you don't need a person. The book becomes Rav.
So how is the Rav different to the Creator? Because
the Creator is not found in the Ten. He is revealed in the Ten. Also, when you begin to study from the right source and you try to overcome according to the source correctly, then the book becomes Rav. Through that, an upper force is revealed that you establish through the correct attitude between you. But the ten, only the ten exists. Outside of the ten is a concealed force.
So the Rav, the Creator, the books, all of that is that concealed force which I can grow within the ten and to annul before?
Yes, that's a means with which to attain the upper force, to adapt ourselves to the upper force.
Thank you.
We exist in it, and we wish to locate it. And the degrees of the compatibility of the ten with the with this hidden force. That's the entire wisdom of Kabbalah, the entire ladder. Okay?
Now,
he writes about joy with the Creator, delights. What is he talking about?
Bringing contentment to the Creator, delighting Him, simply. We are searching for Him, we try to adapt ourselves to Him, we wish to justify Him through all the states, we understand it's all a game towards us, that through that He is developing us in order to become greater, more suitable to be toward, you know, to be with Him, like a father and a child. It's a correct example. So he's saying his father intentionally shows him a stern face, creates different problems for the child in order to awaken him, to search for Him.
What does it mean to engage in Torah and commandments for her sake, lishma?
To engage in Torah and mitzvot, lishma, for her sake, means for the sake of the Torah, which is the correct system from which we receive the laws and the forces, and we do it in order to keep those laws using the forces we receive from the system. This means, this is the meaning of keeping the Torah and mitzvot. Mitzvot are acts of bestowal that we gradually acquire, and the Torah means using the reforming light. I've created the evil inclination, I created the Torah as a spice because the light in it reforms.
What is lishma?
Lishma, meaning to bestow purely, without anything returning to Him. Meaning, it's as if my will to receive doesn't work in my direction, egoistically. No desire, no thought about myself. This is the meaning of lishma. Lishma means there are degrees in it for the sake of Torah, for the sake of. But in general, outside of me.
And why is the Creator's greatness necessary in order to engage in Torah and mitzvot for her sake? Lishma.
If not for the greatness of the Creator, how will I change the direction, the vector of my efforts from myself to, from my own benefit to the Creator's benefit? To the extent the Creator is greater than me, I'll be able to direct it at Him. Otherwise, from the very beginning, we are born in such a way that we are the most important. Each one is the most important compared to all of reality. And to change that direction. So the 10 becomes more important, and then the Creator becomes more important. This means from love of the created beings to love of the Creator. First of all, from self-love to love of others, and then from love of others to the love of the Creator. So we have to go through these degrees.
And how does the influence of the friends help us attain the greatness of the Creator?
Friends can convince me of the importance, that they are more important than me. Using envy, lust, craving, honor, there are a few forces in me that I can use to deride my ego. It's sort of a special exercise. It's also egoistic, but it is serving as a transition. I can stop thinking about myself, seemingly, and think of the other, seemingly, through envy, where if everyone thinks this way, I also want to think this way. This comes from the fact that we used to be in one system, we're all interconnected, despite the shattering. That's why I'm in a state where I'm capable of doing actions against my own desire, only in order to please the other. This is a kind of ego that works against the personal ego, where the general ego is greater than the individual ego. It's a means for one to rise above himself.
So the friends convinced me of the greatness of the Creator, or their own greatness?
Their own, and then the Creator's later. You see how many people, you know, give their own lives in order to please, to be liked by society. One wants to study, one to be rich, and one is like writes books, and one composes music. Look, everyone, it just appears to us that people are chasing money. They're chasing honor, importance, to be important to society. That's everything. Look at you when you're building your home and your family, how you're looking at others. Make sure you're not less than everyone. Maintain a certain level that is, you invest forces in order to be like everyone, at the very least, because shame obligates you to reach a certain level of life. From that, you begin to grow. And this is typical only for the human species, not animals. Beasts don't have such a thing. They don't have shame. The more we advance, the degrees of our shame become more exalted. We begin to feel ashamed with various things. It happens like that qualitatively.
So how do the friends convince me of the Creator's greatness? Or how do I become convinced by the friends?
The friends can tell you they have the importance of a certain Creator, something that is, you know, whether it exists or not is not important. And through that, you begin to get him to be impressed. They can tell you about Buddha, various such things, and you accept it, and you're impressed by it, and you start to go mad after it. Well, it all depends on society. We see it, the whole world is like that. Except for Kabbalists, for whom nothing is sacred, except for the force of bestowal, which is above our own nature. And we have to come to it. The general force of bestowal, they call the Creator.
And how does this bring me to bestowing contentment upon the Creator? What does the greatness of the Creator have to do with bestowing contentment?
Oh, one who is great, you, according to your own nature, you want to give contentment, like to a friend, according to his greatness, because the greatness obligates. It's a feeling that he is greater. In you, he is greater than you. Then you want to bestow to him, because bestowal to him will be felt in you like bestowing to yourself, and more, even more than that. All the way up to the degrees of love. Okay, there are a lot of things in that. You have to think a bit more. But those are natural things that exist on the level of this world, and from that we can start to grow. The shattering was complete, reached the end of all the degrees, and that's why here we have all the means in order to enter the spiritual world. Except we have to work together, use what they're saying, not run away from it. Okay? Only once. It could be one, now or later. And now, okay.
What's clear is that the connection between the souls never went away, never vanished. What isn't clear is when will our deeds match the deeds of our forefathers?
Whenever we come to it, the Creator will not make any concessions and close that gap in our place. Rather, whenever we make it, all depends on the work in the ten.
Thank you very much.
Three, right?
Excerpt number three from Baal Sulam.
Hold on, we have a few questions. First of all, Peter.
Peter.
You said that if the friend feels lower than the rest of the group, he gets power. Does this work like a physical force, like the force of gravity or something? If you do that, you get these forces? Or is it only if the friends see it and feel it where you'll get these forces? Do you get these forces immediately when you reduce yourself, diminish yourself? Or does it work in a roundabout way? When the friends see you as small, accept you as small, do you get those forces? Again, he repeats, if the friend feels that he's the lowest from all...
If a person makes himself small compared to the friends, just as Rabash writes to us, then he acquires the strength to grow. That's it, period. More than that, I don't recall it being written. That's it. Don't philosophize around it. We're talking about it from the perspective of a person, not what the friends do, what a person does. If he brings, makes himself small compared to the friends, he acquires strength, forces from him to the extent he's making himself smaller. Ashkelon. Are they talking or what? Can I hear you? Okay, take him down. Holland. So, can't hear you.
Holland, shomim?
Holland, we hear you? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, it's written in the article that bestowal upon his wrath becomes reception, and therefore motivation to start in the study. Should it not also be for the student that he be towards his wrath in above reason, because the wrath is the great one?
Rav nikra gadol. Rav means great. Any person that you consider as greater than you is called Rav. Rav from the word great. Hence, if you appreciate someone, it's not that he's great, so it says Rav about him. Rather, you consider him as greater than something important to you, more than you. To that extent, the extent of the gap between you and him, you receive strength, appreciation, an example, and so on and so forth. You can advance.
Almata.
Almata.
What you said? Lishma is the adacha in чистом виде.
You said that lishma is pure bestowal, without leaving anything to to oneself. So what's the difference between the midline and Lishma?
I don't know. We're not talking about the midline now. We're talking about how if I have an appreciation of the greatness of someone, I can bestow to him. I can work for him. To ascribe myself to him according to the recognition of his greatness towards me. To that extent, I have the strength to bestow to him. That's what we're talking about. Forget about the middle line for now. It's still ahead of us. Latin America 4.
Latin America 4.
Latin America 4. What's up today? Is someone asking Latin America 4?
We can't hear them.
Can't hear. No, they're not talking.
They're not talking.
Anyone who puts up the question mark has to check beforehand if there's a connection, like Ashkelon. What are they saying? I can't hear. Can you speak now? Ashkelon.
Can you hear?
Yes, now.
Good. So, Rav, the question is regarding the same scrutiny. What does it mean to magnify the friend, to
make yourself smaller? It means to annul.
So what's the difference between annulling yourself before the friend or making concessions towards the friend? I can make concessions because
by making concessions you remain on the same level. You consider yourself as great and you make a concession. To annul yourself, you recognize his greatness and you find yourself lower than him with respect to something that's important to you. He is truly greater and you are lower, and it's worthwhile for you to annul yourself in order to receive appreciation from him, greatness, forces, and advance in this way. In short, this is work. Look what Rav Ash writes. Next.
Excerpt 3 from Baal Sulam, Article 191 of Shamati, The Time of Descent. It is hard to depict the time of descent when all the works and the efforts made from the beginning of the work until the time of descent are lost. To one who has never tasted the taste of servitude of the Creator, it seems as though this is something outside of him, meaning that this happens to those of high degrees. But ordinary people have no connection to serving the Creator, only to crave the corporeal will to receive, present in the flow of the world, washing the whole world with this desire. However, we must understand why they have come to such a state. After all, with or without one's consent, there is no change in the creation of heaven and earth. The Creator behaves in a manner of good and doing good. Thus, what is the outcome of this state? We should say that it comes to announce His greatness. One does not need to act as though he does not want her. Rather, one should behave in a manner of fearing the exaltedness, to know the merit and the distance between him and the Creator. It is difficult to understand this with a superficial mind, or to have any possibility of connecting the Creator and creation. During a descent, he feels that it is impossible that he will have connection or belonging to the Creator by way of dvikut, by way of adhesion, since he feels that servitude is a foreign thing to the whole world. In truth, this is so. But in the place where you find His greatness, there you find His humbleness. This means that it is a matter that is above nature, that the Creator gave this gift to creation to allow them to be connected and adhere to Him. Hence, when one becomes reconnected, he should always remember his time of descent, so as to know, understand, appreciate, and value the time of adhesion. So he will know that now he has salvation above the natural way. Again, excerpt number 3. It is hard to depict the time of descent, when all the works and the efforts made from the beginning of the work until the time of descent are lost. To one who has never tasted the taste of servitude of the Creator, it seems as though this is outside of him, meaning that this happens only to those of high degrees. But with ordinary people, they have no connection to the service of the Creator, but only to crave the corporeal will to receive, present in the flow of the world, washing over the whole world with this desire. However, we must understand why they have come to such a state. After all, with or without one's consent, there is no change in the creation of heaven and earth. The Creator behaves in a manner of good and doing good. Thus, what is the outcome of this state? We should say that it comes to announce His greatness. One does not need to act as though he does not want her. Rather, one should behave in a manner of fearing the exaltedness, to know the merit and the distance between him and the Creator. It is difficult to understand this with the superficial mind, or to have any possibility of connecting between the Creator and creation. During a descent, he feels that it is impossible that he will have connection or belonging to the Creator by way of dvekut, adhesion. Since he feels that servitude is a foreign thing to the whole world. In truth, this is so. But in the place where you find his greatness, there you find his humbleness. This means that it is a matter that is above nature. The Creator gave this gift to creation to allow them to be connected and adhered to him. Hence, when one becomes reconnected, he should always remember his time of descent so as to know, understand, appreciate, and value the time of dvekut, of adhesion, so he will know that now he has salvation that is above the way of nature.
We can see it on ourselves. We have the time of descent, and then we lose all the strength, all the desire, all the thoughts. Oh, we want nothing, and we're like rags, as Rabash used to say. And that's it. And you agree to anything, whatever it may be, I don't care. You know. And when the Creator awakens us just a little bit and raises us from this state, then to the extent we're able to work with the strength that we have during the ascent, to contribute, to invest, meaning it all depends on the level of the light that reforms from zero to as high as it brings us. That's what's happening. Hence our work is how do we understand these states? So, after all, we've gone through a few similar states, both in the ascent and in the descent. And what do we do in order to appreciate those states properly and build ourselves? Not that we're not dependent on them. We're not talking about it. Of course, we're dependent. We are, after all, a will to receive. And according to the light that influences us, we'll always be fluctuating up and down. Rather, the question is, how can we extract the correct result, the correct profit from all these fluctuations up and down? That is the question. So, and now is a question for everyone. How do we extract profit from the ascent and the sense that the Creator is giving us? Go ahead.
No.
Quickly.
When you receive this envy of the friends on the path, it helps you advance on the path.
How to extract profit from ascent and descent? It's inside the ten. One goes up, one goes down. And in this way, everyone can go up, because the greatest of the friends, the goal, the Creator.
It's through building up the desire. The desire for bestow is built by this expansion and the departure of the light, which builds in us a lack for bestow.
And they write to us that we have to remember the time of descent between us, in order to understand what is an ascent. But we also learn that we're independent of both. We're simply moving in the direction of the Creator.
And in this way, we can turn all of our will to receive, invert it. If we needed to invert it all at once, certainly it wouldn't have been possible for us to come out of it. But in this manner of ascent and descent, we can gradually correct it and turn it into bestowal.
I think if we were truly moving through spiritual ascent and descent, we'd have some profit. Today we're like a baby, you know, it hurts here or there, it's not really an ascent or a descent.
Thanks to the ascents and descents, we generate yearning by the ascents and descents. We want to come to the quality of bestowal. We want to yearn for the Creator out of that and not out of the good feelings or bad feelings.
Rav, how should we appreciate the ascents and descents, the gap between them, based on which discernment, in what way, for that to assist us in increasing the speed of ascending? Go ahead.
By catching this greatness and importance of the Creator from each other, who gave us all these ascents and descents?
Yeah, constantly look for the greatness of the Creator. That's the only thing we need. And then the greater the descent, we should just teach one another that specifically at that time to yearn for the friends and to give to them the greatness of the Creator.
To see how completely controlled we are. We have no power to bestow, we have no greatness, importance, and even the descent, do we do that by ourselves? Is it in our power? The Creator does it all. And we want to establish a society that will give us a yearning for the goal. We attach to that society.
Yeah, the speed with which we're in this field of the ten, the speed of coming out of the descent, each time towards the center of the ten, towards the Creator.
I agree, this is the main discernment. By generating this field in the connection between us, which keeps tying everything, whether ascent or descent, all those states to the Creator, too. There is none else besides Him, the Source.
Yeah. That's why we're talking about the greatness of the Creator, of the goal between us. This is our goal. And it's above everything. The higher this field, accordingly we accelerate time.
Rav, what should we value more, the ascent or the descent? in order to advance, or perhaps something else altogether.
I think we need to appreciate the goal for which we are gathering. And then for the ascent and descent to simply go at a higher pace. The greater the goal, the more we help one another to see this goal is great. We'll be able to appreciate the pace of this ascent and descent.
It's written here that the descents come only in order to be able to value the ascent.
Yeah, the descent is the Creator opening up for you, the world to receive. He's opening up a space where you can appreciate the Creator. Of course, the descents are much greater and more important than the ascent.
Yes, it's clear that it's the descents, although we appreciate the ascents more, but we need to value the descents. This is the place where we can act on our own to generate the lack. The Creator shows that He is gone, He departed, and we can then love. Novosibirsk.
Good morning. Can we ask about shame?
No, only on topic. If each one starts asking whatever he wants, it won't be a lesson. Only according to the subject of the lesson. Ascent, descent. What we're talking about now, the greatness of the Creator, the greatness of the group, that's it. Only about what we're reading. I noticed that you all put the question mark there even before we start reading the excerpt. We've barely gone past the first sentence, already you have a question mark. That's not how you do it. You're not integrating together with everyone in the study, and that's not right. Salt Lake City.
Okay, Rav, my question is, what is this servitude of the Creator? Can you please explain what is this servitude of the Creator?
What does it mean to serve the Creator? Servitude of the Creator.
Serving the Creator means to attribute all of creation to Him. Continue.
Number 4 from Shamati 30, the most important is to want only to bestow. The most important is not to want anything except to bestow because of His greatness, since any reception is flawed. It is impossible to exit reception, but only to take the other extreme, meaning bestowal. The moving force, meaning the extending force and the force that compels to work, is only greatness. One must think that ultimately the effort and the labor must be made, but through these forces, one can yield some benefit and pleasure. In other words, one can please a limited body with one's work and effort, which is either a passing guest or an eternal one, meaning that one's energy remains in eternity. Again, item 4. The most important thing is not to want anything except to bestow because of His greatness, since any reception is flawed. It is impossible to exit reception, but only to take the other extreme, meaning bestowal. The moving force, meaning the extending force and the force that compels one to work, is only greatness. one must think that ultimately the efforts and the labor must be made. But through these forces one can yield some benefit and pleasure. In other words, one can please a limited body with one's work and effort, which is either a passing guest or an eternal one, meaning that one's energy remains in eternity.
Ken.
Yes.
It
says that the most important is not to want anything, which is questionable, and then we cannot come out of reception.
Wait. The most important is not to want anything except to bestow. Only to bestow.
Only to bestow. What about all my desires for money, fame, honor, knowledge?
Upon all these, that's why he says that the main thing is to want only to bestow. If you had no other desires, he wouldn't have written anything about that.
So how can we reach that state where he wants nothing?
The will to bestow to the Creator will be so great that you won't feel any other desire. Isn't that clear?
No, I have these concerns and...
You have concerns today, now, let's say. And so, you don't feel like having breakfast. You are so concerned, so worried about the day to come that you have no appetite. You can't put anything in your mouth. Does that ever happen?
Yes.
It happens. So what are you asking about? That's the meaning of the big fish swallowing up the little fish, small fish. So he says, the most important is to not want anything except to bestow. There needs to be a comma here. Because of his greatness. Yes?
So how do we get there? How do we get to the state where I don't want anything?
Ah, so you need to increase the greatness of the Creator, to elevate it above all the concerns, the worries, the desires, and everything you may have. The Creator, in His greatness, will be greater than all those. Right? So first you have to understand that everything you feel comes from the Creator. Everything that comes from the Creator comes deliberately so that you, by your efforts, will try to recognize His greatness as being above everything else that's in front of you. You're attracted to all sorts of things. You try to run from other things. For good or bad, the Creator needs to be above it all. You're attracted to Him above all the cakes and all the troubles. Right? And if not, then you have a 10, and you have the prayer, and go ahead. What is the whole of reality there for? That's it.
Except it seems sometimes that it sounds possible, but often it's impossible.
Because you need to organize those things. It's only the order of them, where it comes from, what it comes for, and how I need to respond. These three things. All right, yes?
Hello, Rav. I want to know, what does it mean to bestow? What should I bestow?
Bestowing means to carry out an action by which, according to your estimation, you bestow contentment upon the Creator. That's the meaning of bestowal. What can I do like unto a friend, like unto someone you love? You think, what can I do in order to give him contentment, to give him pleasure? Think that way with respect to the Creator. And if you can't think about the Creator in that way, or perhaps it's not the right thing to do for the time being, then do it towards the group. Whatever you do with respect to the 10, it's certain that you're really acting the same towards the Creator. That's it.
Ayakanod Mishu me lo,
לא, נו, אז אתה.
There was someone here other than... No, okay, so you.
Что значит передать свои килим товарищу?
What does it mean to transfer my vessel to the friend?
Usually this refers to the lack. If I discover importance, greatness, I want to give it to the friends.
Мне кажется, это разные вещи.
Deficiency in vessels, they appear as different things.
For the time being, it doesn't matter to us really. The lack and the vessel, same thing. There is
Thank
a difference.
You.
There is a difference. A lack is only a lack. A vessel is a lack with a tzimtzum, a sach, or chozer, all those things, and then I can work with it. A vessel is a lack which is ready for work. It is called a vessel. More? All right. So, yes, Glenn.
In what is the great, the true greatness of the Creator?
I don't know.
No, that He created the world.
You're asking, what is the true greatness of the Creator? Right, as if I know Him so well that I can tell you what His true greatness is. It's a question. It's a naive question. We don't attain that. We attain only a tiny portion of Him that is revealed to us, and that's only... It's like talking about the universe, right? These days we're discovering gradually that all these galaxies, all of our universe, is only a tiny, tiny part of... vaster and vaster distances, and things are being discovered gradually. It's infinity in time and stars, and you're asking, what's the true greatness of the Creator? What can I tell you? 2 kilometers, 10 tons, how can you measure? It's infinite. In infinity, we can't either. It's impossible.
But he writes, the place of his greatness, that's where you find his humbleness.
So that's to the extent that you discover his greatness. You discover his greatness in your own vessels, according to the humility, according to the extent to which you lower yourself, you diminish yourself. To that extent, you discover the Creator as being great. It's all relative.
And then he writes that this is above nature, that the Creator gave this gift to creation to allow them to be connected and in adhesion with Him. What is this connection, adhesion?
Yes, that is the greatness of the Creator, who created creation in such a lowly state, so opposite to Him, on one hand, and on the other, He did everything possible for them to come to know His greatness and to reach His degree, to the point where seemingly there won't be any difference between the Creator and the created beings. Well, these are theoretical questions. We'll get to know it. From your actions we shall know you. We come to know everything from that feeling. If it comes into our feelings, then we will know. If not, then not. Oh, we have Napoli today. Shut off your speakers.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
I ask, what's the significance? Un corpo limitato con la sua forza e il suo sforzo, che sono sia la distinzione di ospite limitato che del corpo eterno. Non è chiaro questo. Che cosa significa? What does it mean? That a person was given the ability to work with one's effort, which is either a passing guest or an eternal one. Do you understand that?
Although we are small and limited in terms of time, motion, space, our vessels, nevertheless, we can, to an extent, to a small measure, to appreciate the Creator according to our measure of equivalence of form with Him. And that is a very great thing that He gave to us. He gave us the ability in a discrete manner, how to put it exactly, yes, in a discrete manner, in a discreet manner to get to know him. That's his greatness. It's as if he restricted himself, divided himself, did all sorts of things to himself, like a father playing with his child, so that we will be able to come to know him. Salt Lake City.
Bokerto, friends. In the last excerpt, it said one must think that ultimately the efforts and labor must be made, but through these forces, it brings one benefit and pleasure. Now, here's the question. What's the pleasure of the efforts and the labor that is made? Is it the connection to the Creator or the connection to the tens or the friends?
A connection to the ten is a connection with the vessels. Even though it's love, connection, but with regards to the Creator, it's a connection of the vessels. And then from those vessels, we rise to a higher degree still, of a higher degree of connection and love, which is the connection with the Creator. But it comes one after the other. Then we come to know the difference, the essential difference between connecting with the friends and then from them to connect to the Creator. What addition we have between the first and the second. I cannot put it in words. It's a matter of feeling. We'll get there and we'll see. Tallinn.
No, Epozada.
Доброе утро, Раф. А можно вопрос по предыдущему отрывку?
Good morning. Can I ask about a previous excerpt?
Fine. These Estonians.
It says that from this it's clear that the spiritual descent comes only to those who are in high spiritual degrees. And common people have no relation or connection to these states. They yearn only to corporeal things. Question is, how can I even determine that I have certain connection to spiritual desires? Because in truth, I'm studying for many years, but I keep revealing, discovering that I'm more and more in corporeality and have no connection to spirituality, no ability to do anything.
I don't think that you're not in spirituality, but rather it's a kind of spirituality where you don't yet feel that you're in it. But nevertheless, you undergo many changes of states, which don't happen to a regular person in this world. And these changes prepare your spiritual vessel for you. We have to understand that the time of preparation that we are now in, that we're making now, this is the most important time. These are the greatest connections. Of course, we want to go through them quickly and to forget about them and to be in spirituality and all that. No. Even when we will be in the highest states of spirituality, we will fall all the way down to this world, and even lower than we are now, a greater will to receive into such terrible horrors that we never felt in our will to receive. What Kabbalists go through, they go through such things, such lusts, such desires, such an outlook on others, we can't understand that. These are shells, klipot. These are things yet to come. What can we do? Anyone who's greater than his friend has a greater inclination. But don't think that you have nothing to do with spirituality. You're going through states, many states in our world and in spirituality as well. We go through these states without any awareness. We go through them and we discover that we went through them later. So the main thing is to continue. And other than that, again, the connection in the ten and through the ten, a prayer to the Creator. Get a diary, a journal. Write down how much you studied, how much you connected to the friends, and through the friends, to what extent you connected to the Creator, either through some request or through gratitude. write a journal and you'll see if you have something or not. Otherwise, the days go by truly with no profit. Kiev.
Вот у меня вопрос по поводу вот этого отрывка, а главное желать отдавать, по поводу отдачи Творцу.
I have a question regarding this excerpt. If the main thing is to want to bestow or bestow to the Creator, you said that there are two stages of adhesion with the friends and of adhesion with the Creator, bestowal upon the Creator later. Now there's this feeling that when you adhere to the friends, you come to love them, and you're willing to bestow upon them and to fulfill them. This is a vessel that you feel. Now, somewhere deep inside, there's another vessel, that of the Creator. There's this desire to bestow upon Him and to love Him. So what is that vessel that I fulfill within the friends, which is called the Creator as well? Love. The vessel that you attain in the connection with the friends, that exactly is the Creator. You stop referring to each and every friend in a singular, in a discrete manner. Rather, you connect them all together as one desire, one intention, and so you relate to them all as one. And by that, you build the Creator. It's written, "You have made me." That's how it is. It's simple.
New York.
About a question about ascents and descents, Rav. Does being in the morning lesson help us go through ascents and descents in the most beneficial way? If so, how?
I can't conceive of a way in which a person who isn't with us in the lesson can advance in spirituality at all. I can't. I don't see any other means. Perhaps there's other groups. Go search. Perhaps there's someone teaching. But the group, a living group that you can connect to every day, get in touch with, and it motivates you, and you can influence it in return to respond. You don't have. I never heard of such a group. You can try. Perhaps there'll be something else that's more appropriate for you. But the most important thing is to advance. The end of correction is the same for everyone. It's one for everyone. We'll meet there. I'm not holding anyone here. But it seems to me, well, I try to give whatever I can. That's it. And so, participating in the morning lesson, for you it's evening time, so I think it's, for New York, it's an excellent time. It starts at 8 p.m., I believe. So, from 8 through to 10:30, and it's excellent. You're not interrupting, disturbing anyone. You go to sleep after. All right. Well.
Good morning, Rav. You said to the friend that in order to to come to the recognition of the Creator, you have to keep a journal. One of the ways to observe yourself. And this method for self-observation brings a person to know the Creator eventually?
No. This journal that I recommend that a person keep, it's only for some sort of criticism, observation on himself, but it won't get him to any recognition of the Creator, knowing the Creator. How is that related?
No, I need to add.
No, the journal is completely unrelated. It's one of various means by which he can examine himself to see if he's investing his time correctly throughout the day. But where? In the group, in the ten, in the connection in order to find the power of bestowal, meaning to turn to the Creator with prayer. That's where you have all the work in there. The journal itself means nothing. There's nothing. This whole approach, where the main thing is to just write things down, no, that's not of any use. Yes.
No, I thought there's maybe other ways we don't know of.
Of course, Kabbalists have found in creation, in nature. Well, other than that, there's nothing else. It's a very, very simple method. It seems confusing and complex because we are incapable of understanding it, because we're built entirely of the power of reception. We don't have the power of bestowal. But in truth, the moment we begin to see the power of bestowal opposite the power of reception, it becomes very simple. It's a very simple matter. It's plus and minus. What else do you have in creation? Only on the degrees of the inanimate, the vegetative, the animate, and the living, the animate, you can look at these things as molecules, atoms, living bodies. And in terms of the feelings a person feels, there is your problem. One force is hidden, one force is revealed, and you need to reveal that which is hidden. You need to reveal the connection between them. That's the whole of the wisdom of Kabbalah. The world is hidden. It's hidden because you lack the positive force opposite the negative one. The negative is also concealed, by the way. We're confused because we think that what we discover in the inanimate, vegetative, animate, and speaking degrees has something to do with us. But it's not. It's only on the lowest degree, what belongs to the degree of human, Adam. We don't have that. So.
We can write, come up with certain technology of the transition or the process of going through the stages of recognizing the Creator.
Yes, that is the whole of the wisdom of Kabbalah, what you're asking about.
Yeah, but for humanity, can we simplify it?
No. No. For the rest of humanity, you need only write in a simple way that we need to reach the recognition of evil in our state, and to reach the recognition that we lack the positive force, the connection between us. And this positive force we can receive through the Kabbalists. And the Kabbalists are as the head, and we are all of humanity as the body. We need to receive the power of bestowal from them, and by that we will advance.
So they have to see me as a light bulb that they have on me, that I'm a Kabbalist?
Yes, there's nothing wrong about that. That's how humanity always follows people who can illuminate the path for them. It's in everything, now as well. Scientists, for example, other significant people, they pave the road for us and we follow them. That's it. However, now, as we come to the general crisis, and there's nowhere else to advance to, there's nowhere to go, everything is shut. Everything is shut. We're not yet aware of it. We don't see it. But all human endeavors that humanity thought to advance in, it all shuts down, and there's nowhere to advance to. Only one thing, only upwards. We can do only one thing, to save ourselves from the punishments and blows. Only to change the relationships between people. And we cannot change those relations between people unless we draw the positive force that's hidden in nature. So the method for extracting that positive force from nature is called the Torah, the teaching of the hidden. Yes, Chaim.
If I understood correctly, you said that when I stop relating to each friend discreetly and relate to everyone as one, by that you build the Creator.
Yes, it's written, you have made me. So what do I make him of? I mean, from relating to all the friends in such a good way where they become all as one for me. So this vessel, this single vessel, discovers the filling, which is the Creator. But in terms of its qualities, of those qualities, the vessel and the Creator are in adhesion.
But why specifically this transition from relating to each friend individually and to relating to everyone as one is revealing the Creator?
This is what we call the entrance into the spiritual world. It's us skipping, jumping to a degree of spiritual perception, where instead of 10, I perceive, I see 1. It's a kind of a new perception, a new attribute, a new quality, integral, where I don't see anything as divided into many parts. I see one force operating in the whole of reality, the power of good, that's working, in the power of evil, the bad force, is only there in order to help discover the good force. So it's all as one.
And then when there's an interaction with a certain friend, let's say, how do you see it if it's part of the general force? How do you feel it?
That is constantly changing, but the level can be maintained, and other than that, you have fluctuations. Yeah, all sorts of spikes, fluctuations. Above that. Yes. Who's there?
The question came up in the workshop that the ability to bestow is it either in the sense, the essence, or the process between them?
You have the ability to bestow during the process, or in the essence, or the descent. It depends only on the way in which you regard these changes. If you attribute all these changes to the Creator, who awakens either the vessel that's in you, or He evokes awakening in you or invokes the light. Regardless, if you adhere during all these ascents and descents, if you adhere to the force, the power that's doing this thing to you, acting upon you, then there's no difference for you in terms of ascents or descents. Yes.
Yes, precisely on that. Ascent, descent, I relate less to them, but more to who sent it to me.
It's worthwhile for you to relate to him, because it's precisely upon these descents and ascents where you feel how much they affect you that compels you to regard the force that builds these descents and ascents for you.
I mean, the intention is not whether it's an ascent or descent, but only the force behind it. The question is, what is this lesson here? Okay, I remembered it came from the Creator. The state came from the Creator. I managed to remember that thanks to the 10. What is the lesson here? It sounds like, you know, other than relating it, what else did I scrutinize here?
If you relate it to the Creator, you learn the Creator's actions upon you. So, you need to enter into a zivug d'haka'ah with him, to receive in order to bestow from him, to be in equivalence of form with him, and by that you attain his operation, his actions, how he did it, for what. Then you see how he expands, how he is extended into you.
Let's say he showed me a friend as either more, low, higher or lower. He raised a friend in my eyes, lowered him. I ascribe it to the Creator. How from that I learn about his actions? Something happened to me, I ascribed it to the Creator. It's as if I came out of this process the same. I just related it to the Creator. What was the lesson here?
That is a whole study. No, I can't explain it to you in two words. Write that question down, and we will speak of it. It's also not exactly according to the subject. So, let's have a song, and we'll move to Tess, part 8.
נעבור לחלק הבא.
צריך שכל איש ידע שבו יש נר שדולק ואין נרו שלו כנר חברו. צריך שכל איש יבין שעליו לעמול ולגלות את אור הנר ברבים להאיר לבבות. רק ניצוץ לא ידליק את אור האהבה, אבל יחד יהיה לכם קומה של קדושה. רק בינינו נדליק את אור האהבה, שלבת גדולה. צריך שכל איש ידע שבו יש נר שדולם ונרו שלו כנר חברו. שכל איש יבין שעליו לעמול ולגלות את אור הנר ברבים להאיר לבבות. רק ניצוץ לא ידליק את אור האהבה, אבל יחד תהיה לכם קומה של קדושה. רק בינינו נדליק את אור האהבה, שלבת גדולה. רק ניצוץ לא ידליק את אור האהבה, אבל יחד תהיה כאן קומה של קדושה. רק בינינו נדליק את אור האהבה, לשלב